Good morning. Some of you need to turn around. And I'm not just talking about turning around to look at me. I'm talking about turning around to look at light. To look at light of life, the light of God. Because we're called to be the light. If you haven't seen the common thread over the last few weeks, Pastor Nick has preached about it. The songs you just heard, you just sang about it. We're called to be light. If you believe in God, if you believe that Jesus died for you, you are now sons of light, daughters of light. And we're supposed to show it. So, I'm showing my light. And it's not me that I'm showing. You'll see I'm connected to something. It doesn't come from me, but it emanates in me. We're called the vine, and he is the vine, we are the branches. I'm a branch that's lit. So are you, if you believe. So to demonstrate, I'm going to ask, and I have my cooler with me. Guys, no, there's no Bud Light in the cooler. We're not that kind of church. And I'm going to probably be tangled up, because that's kind of like our Christian walk. We have to unravel ourselves to see truth sometimes. Brother Joe, can you come help me for a second? First, you can hold the word. Now, when we come into fellowship and discipleship, others are supposed to come with us, and they're supposed to be light too. And there's your plug. Okay, so there's your light. Now, we got to find some way where he can graft you in so it can be challenging. And you can tell this is unrehearsed. So, and I'm doing this totally out of obedience, because this is what God told me to do. So when we find, oh, here we are. So we come to a place in my life where I've met you and know you are also a child of God, and he wants you to light up the world too, so we have to plug you in. But uh-oh, it doesn't work. So we need additional tools, because maybe, you know, sometimes we need extra help. Now, these aren't for you. We're supposed to be circumcised by the heart. And so I have to cut, and you can tell him, to make this work. And you can tell again, unrehearsed. So now, we're going to plug you in. Oh, look. It works. So you can take your light, because, you know, we are all in the vine of life. And I'm going to walk a little bit. You can go, you know, we're going to come back together. Yeah, you're just going to shine your light wherever you'd like to go. And I'm going to come down further around the road. Now, sometimes God, what he'll do is he wants to stretch us. He wants to grow us. And, you know, we got to take stuff with us. And there's a point in every Christian life that you will come, because it happened to Jesus, and he's going to send you someplace that you might not want to go. And it's for our own good. So we get to a place, and he wants to extend us. He wants to stretch us. So he does that. But first, we have to go to a place that may you think there's no light, but you're still connected. And before you do that, somebody will have something that you need. Oh, thanks, Yudi, for that. I needed that because I needed to be adapted to get in here. And then we go, because what happened to my word, Joe? Oh, I need my word. So what's the first thing? Anybody remember the first thing that happened to Jesus when after John baptized him? John the Baptizer. He wasn't a Baptist. He was a baptizer. What happened? He came up out of the water, heard God from heaven saying, "This is my son, I'm well pleased." A dove came down, the power of the Holy Spirit took him and led him to the desert. There are Christians in here, new believers even. You're going to come. This is a warning and this is encouragement. You're going to go into the desert and you're going to feel alone and you're going to feel abandoned. But guess what? You're still connected. And this has happened to me a few times. And guess what? On the other side, there's going to be unbelievable joy if you do three things. And three things is what Jesus did. And it's in Matthew 4. Anybody remember what it were? First thing, what did Satan tempt him with? Bread. Man will not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word of God. That's your first clue when you come to the desert. Okay? Second one, what did he tempt him with? So what this tells me is that maybe we don't remember too well and we need to revisit. And he said, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord God to the test. Don't test God when you're in the desert. Don't do it. Because you need to do this. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And guess what? When you do those three things, you will come out of the desert and it will be unbelievable because you will just learn something new in him. Guaranteed. So then when we walk and we come to a place, and I have a spiritual adapter, three in one, we have children. So Caden, and three things will happen today. I'm probably going to cry. You'll hear me yell. And I can't remember the third. So I have a bad memory. So we have children. And it's all for your good. And then they come along and we encourage them and lead them to the Lord. And guess what? His is all new and not unraveled. Joe was a kind of already unraveled because he already lived some life. But his is new. So we want him plugged in because that's all right. I must hope I don't blow a circuit. Because now he's a new believer and he has to own it himself. He has to live his own life in the Lord. Now, there'll be a time where we will walk alongside each other. That's discipleship. That's what leading and encouraging others in the Lord is all about. But then he's going to go off on his own. And he has to own it and live it and stay connected to it. See, that was easy, right? Yeah. You were all worried. No. Okay. Well, you can carry it with you or you can unwrap it, show your light if you like. No? Okay. We'll just leave it here. Oh, okay. Joe, you can sit down too. You can carry your light whether you like. And this is a lifelong thing. Lifelong. You're going to go into the desert many times. There's some people here on fire for the Lord. And I pray for them often because I know there's going to be this spot in their life. We just talked about this morning how we should be praying for each other to learn more knowledge, discernment, and love in the Lord. Not for ourselves, but for others, because that's what strengthens the body. So here we are. I'm not here to judge your heart. But I want you to look at your own. Because I'm going to say some things today might upset you a little bit, but just believe me, I love you, and I'm saying them so that we get stronger, because there's no growth without some strain and struggle in our lives. Because we can just look at the church today, and it burdens my heart that not every seat in here is filled. There's something needs to change, and we need to look at things differently in order for us to come and corporately gather and worship and learn it. And I've never heard our worship team sing so well this morning. I don't know if my ears have changed or what, but I gave them a challenge, and they met it, man. The first song they sang, Light of the World, Emmanuel, I just told them about it a week ago, and they nailed it. I mean, it was beautiful. But what I'm here to do is to publicly display to you my reverence to God, to glorify God, to give Him thanks, to honor, to magnify Him. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do when we show our light. Those are the things we're supposed to do every single day that we walk this earth. So, are you ready? Are you ready to hear from Him? Not from me. Are you ready to hear from the living God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus, today? Are you ready? Have you readied your hearts? And it doesn't matter if you have believed in Jesus for a decade, 2 decades, 10 decades, I can say it, or you don't believe yet. You're here for a reason. Are you ready to hear from Him? Are you ready? Because after you're ready and hear Him, are you ready to obey Him, obey what He says? Are you ready to listen and obey? Because those are huge. You know, we can hear all day long and not change if we don't trust what we hear. So here we go. Father, we come to You today as one ready for You to work on us. We want to hear from You. We want to see You because we want to know You. We want to know Your love that's beyond understanding. We want to know Your heart. We want to know Your will. And it's all to build Your kingdom, to glorify You, not to glorify us as individual, as CCF, but as Your body of believers in Jesus Christ. In His name we pray, amen. So, my scripture reference today is Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. Now you laugh, but I'm serious. But we don't have enough time. But it's part of my point, and hopefully we'll all get his point at the end. We're going to start at Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Are you shining? And I'm not just talking about here when you're singing, raising your hand, or singing pretty songs. Are you a light out there? How about the next one? John 8:12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Big L. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have light of life. Big L. John 12:35-36. So Jesus said to them, for a little while longer, light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. This is before Jesus was crucified. Because it's not in them, it's with them. And then 46 says, I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. This is one of the 15 reasons that you'll find in the Word of God why Jesus came. Anybody can name another one? I came to testify to the truth. That was in front of Pontius Pilate. Actually, if you noticed, Matthew 17 says another why, a reason why. I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. There's three. I'll send you guys the 12 other ones later. 1 John 1, 5 through 7. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Ephesians 5, 8 through 17. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things come visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do you know what the will of the Lord is? How would we find out? It's the first thing we said. Being in this book. And that's all good news, isn't it? I mean, all those verses talk about good news of Jesus. And I think one of the problems we have, we have many problems. I know I have a lot of problems, but we don't think the good news is that good. At least maybe we did when we first confessed and believed in Jesus, and then it became okay. Because if it was good news, you tell people about it. You show people in your life what it's done for you, and you are excited to tell people about what he's done. Because here's the other problem, or another problem. The church, it's all of us, okay, the United States, the church is more interested in how many people are sitting in the seat and raise their hand and say, I declare Jesus as my Savior, than who is showing the light when they go beyond the doors. Because what happens most of the time is people will get saved, confession, and then they walk out this door and they sit down. And they don't walk. And they think they're saved. A lot of us need to turn around. Again, not looking at me. I'm a sinner saved by faith through grace. Nothing I've done. Everything that he's done. And it's just not good news. This is the best news I could ever tell anyone. But I'm a human being. And I'm more sometimes worried about what other people think. And I repent of that often. So here's a good one for you. Here's the first hard question. So are you a Christian atheist? A what? That's an oxymoron. And that reminds me of a movie. Did he just call me a moron? A Christian atheist. Well, if you define Christian is who believes in the teachings of Jesus. An atheist is a believer that doesn't believe God exists. So can we not believe in the teachings of Jesus and not believe God exists? The person who walks and confesses and walks out the door and sits down and does not walk in light and to the Lord, does he believe in God? He doesn't. Well, he just believes he's saved. Is he deceived? Jesus calls us to follow him, not be a seat warmer. Not to come here and sit down and enjoy a fantastic song and a crazy guy that comes in with lights wrapped all around his neck. Boy, that was entertaining. And he even said Bud Light in church. Psalm 119:105. Now everybody should know this one. But do we live it? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. All this will show us where to go, what to do. The next one, oh, and before we go to the next one, 119:105, it reminds me, your word is the lamp to my feet, the light for my path, of John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is a lamp. The Word is God. The Word is Jesus. Light is Jesus. What else do we need to show us the way? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So here we go. But you say, wait a minute. I know there's another verse in there. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. I don't have to have a lamp. I don't have to see. And I know Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction is not seen. Things not seen. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about the light and the lamp is not for you. It's for all the others that don't see. You are a light on the hill. The light that I wrapped around my neck did not come from me. The light that is in our heart does not come from us. It's in us. It's not for us to see. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. About building his church. About glorifying him and honoring him. Adoring him. In Proverbs 16:9, the mind of man plays his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Joe, can you show the map picture, the first one? So this is my typical drive on an average 4 times a month. So, electronics is so cool. I mean, you can see all the stuff ahead. I mean, it knows. It just knows. Right now, there's all kind of traffic. Of course, it's on the Beltway. You know, that's always a fun place. And I can't remember what time this was. But it gave me an alternate route. It's a little bit longer. And then there's one even longer. So I can choose. I can choose which way to go. Of course, we always go for the shorter one. But you can see that has the most stuff on it. Most stuff in the way. Now, if we look a little bit closer, and it looks pretty straight. It's not too bad. You know, a couple little bends in the road. Joe, should we show the next one? But if you can barely see, this is going in the alternate. Now it's a little more curvy. If we get a little bit closer. And now, man, there's a loop in it. And that's our Christian walk. Now, we have a destination that we're going toward. And there's going to be hazards. There's going to be... in the parking lot this morning, you know, it's a mess out there. It's like the moon, craters. But I just think of craters as inverted speed bumps. But, so if you're coming down the driveway, who came down and turned right? Raise your hand. Okay, who came down and turned left? I'll tell the right side. Left had a smoother ride. Because I filled potholes yesterday on the left side. But you didn't get the memo. Here's the memo. Okay, it's not going to say, now the ride wasn't completely smooth on the left. I did tell my wife, she's the only one that knew. But it was better. Here's the word. You're going to go through your Christian walk, your Christian life, and there are going to be some barriers and potholes in front of you. But if you follow His path, it'll be a little bit smoother and quicker. Not always. Sometimes He'll delay you. But for good reason. It's always for your good. Proverbs 4:19. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. So when you're in darkness, you ever tried to, like in my garage, because it's a mess, if the lights are off and it's dark outside and inside, because the light switch is on the other side, you can't turn on the light. I walk very slowly and I always stumble and run into something. It's the same thing if you're not in the light. You're going to stumble. But I like 18. But the path of righteousness is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. And when I read this over and over again, this is again salvation. Because when you are saved, it's like the light of dawn. The light is in you now. And guess what? It will shine brighter and brighter if you follow Jesus until the full day, which is when He comes back. But what did 19 say? The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble because they're blind. And Jesus commands us to go and be light to those in darkness. Are you shining your light? Okay, I'm still in the introduction. I'm getting there. It's pretty soon. 1 John 2:6-11. The one who says he abides in Him, there's that word, Ernie, ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked. Capital H's, Jesus. That means moving. Not that does not mean sitting down. That means serving. That's what Jesus did. Beloved, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I'm writing a new commandment to you, which is true in Him, Jesus, and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Jesus. The one who says he is the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him because he's not darkness. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Are you blinded? Maybe a little? Who is your brother? Because it talks about brother. Is that the same as your neighbor? Is that the same as your enemy? Could be, might be, might not be. Gandhi had a quote. He said, I'd love to be a Christian if it weren't the way that Christians treated Christians. That's why I have a hard time. Yes, I am a follower, lover of Jesus. But when I tell someone in the world that I'm a Christian, what do you think they think? So on Friday, praying, going over scripture, and all of a sudden this book comes in my head, Practicing His Presence. I read this a couple years ago, Joe and I, Billy Watts, a couple of the guys. And it's about two dudes, one of the 1600s, Brother Lawrence, and Frank Lobach. He was born in the late 1800s, but his letters here were like in the 1930s. So they're kind of old. But it's like, it just struck me is that this is what I'm talking about. So even the old guys knew. Why don't we? Because, you know, are we practicing His presence to begin with? And this book, and I'll read a little bit. This book carries the testimonies of two men's unique relationship with God. Okay, first, why is it unique? Why isn't it common? That's my first question. Walking in the awareness and the presence of Christ, just as Christ walked about the earth, constantly aware of His Father. And such a relationship obtainable? Is it desirable? Questions to you. Do you want Him? Do you want to follow? Do you want to truly follow Him? Do you want Him really directing your life? Do you want to totally submit your entire being to Him? That's a question you have to ask yourself. The idea of living in constant awareness of Christ has seemed so far-fetched that it's been generally discarded as hopelessly obtainable. It really isn't. He says it. I say it. God says it. Jesus says it. This man says it every week. But if it is attainable, why then has such relationship to the Lord rarely been found among Christians during the last 2,000 years? The answer to that is very simple. I like simple answers because I'm a simple guy. Coming into a deep, constant awareness of Christ is a revelation unknown to most Christians. Why? Why? Why is it unknown? We're doing something wrong. This place should be filled and overflowing. You do not seek after something that you do not know even exists. You don't seek after something you don't know exists. Secondly, practicing a constant fellowship with Christ has rarely been experienced by any but a few men. Why? Isolated from others who shared such an experience. So what has been missing? A corporate endeavor. That's you. A corporate endeavor. It's not him. It's not me. It's not who speaks up here. It's you. Corporate endeavor. That's you. You're coming up. And it's getting a little warm. Because you know what? I am so... I'm not going to be like David, strip down and dance and worship God. But I am so in to you guys. I mean, talking about I wore black on Valentine's Day, remember? And some people, Debbie Kruger actually sent me some stuff. Johnny, you're Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash. Hello, I'm, no. Well, Johnny Cash wrote a song, Man in Black, and he talks about Jesus. You can look it up on YouTube. But I'm so in. Relentless is such an awesome word. Such an awesome word. This is the blood that covers me that I know is true. Relentless. And I am relentless for these guys. I'm relentless for the Lord. I am so excited to see what's going on in their lives because they're coming up. We need to get them trained up to be ready because this world is out of control. Someone lost their life last night, brand new. On first day on the job, Prince William County police officer, ambushed, first day on the job. We live in crazy times. You can't tell me that these times are calming down. They're getting worse, and we got to be ready. And the only way we're going to be ready is putting on the armor. Caden is, like, totally fascinated by this Destiny game, Xbox. And the game, you got to armor up. You know, you got to get the upgrades. You got to get the upgrades because then you can be in battle and, you know, the aliens are trying to get you, but guess what? They can't because you got all the armor on and you can survive. We need to put the armor on here, now. Time is short. Time is short. So what has been missing? The corporate endeavor, a group of men and women together seeking to know nothing but Christ. This is what has been missing. This, the corporate venture, is what makes the difference. This is what takes away the difficulty. To put it more practically, when a group of people standing together with one another seek to live constantly in fellowship with Christ, suddenly the impossible is very obtainable. Are you hearing from the Spirit of God, church? Or are you just hearing words? Is something stirring in you right now, saying something needs to change, and it's me. This is from Frank's journal, October 11, 1931. There are three questions, because he was very biblical, which we ask, may ask. Do you believe in God? That's not getting very far. The devils believe and tremble. Second, are you acquainted with God? We are acquainted with people with whom we have some business dealings. Third, is God your friend? Or putting this another way, do you love God? In this third stage, that is really vital. How is it to be achieved? Precisely as a friendship is achieved, by doing things together with Jesus. The depth and intensity of friendship will depend upon the variety and extent of these things we do and enjoy together. Will the friendship be constant? That again depends upon the permanence of our common interests and upon whether or not our own interests grow into an ever-widening circle so that we do not stagnate. The highest friendship demands growth. It must be progressive, and life itself is progressive. Friends must walk together. They cannot long stand still together, for that means death to friendship and to life. Christ wants you to move. He wants you to move with Him, in Him, He in you. Some prices we must pay. The first price is pressure of our wills, gentle but constant. But what prize is ever won without effort? The second prize is perseverance. Poor results at the outset are not the slightest reason for discouragement. Everybody has this experience for a long while. Each week grows better and requires less strain. The third prize is perfect surrender. We lose Christ's presence the moment our will rebels. If we try to keep even a remote corner of life or self or evil and refuse to let the Lord rule us wholly, the small worm will spoil the entire fruit. We must utterly be sincere. The fourth piece is to be often in a group. How many times has that been said from up here? You need to be in community. Period. Period. If you're not in community, I would like to see your light. And then I'm not judging hearts here. I don't know everybody outside these walls. You could be doing amazing things for the kingdom. But if you feel convicted, show up next Sunday, 9:30. We'll put you in a group. Doesn't matter what age. Doesn't matter. Come. Jesus calls us. Is He calling you? We need the stimulus of believers who pursue what we pursue, the presence of Jesus. Okay, now my introduction's over. Because it says on your bulletin, worship. Well, kinda. Kind of funny, I know. It's phonetically whatever. But we see there's actually a couple of words, because the Bible wasn't written in English. On the front of your bulletin, listening guide, as Pastor Nick likes to call it. is four words. The bottom right one is, I'll try to, it's Hebrew, Shekau. Now, when I heard that word, it reminded me of Lightning McQueen. Shekau! And what did he shine, though? He shined his light. Shekau! I know, I'm weird. Now, the other ones are, did I say that right, Bill? Bill would know. He's like the scholar back there. Jesse, how did he say it right? And I even listened to it on the, okay, so how about, is it Praskun, Skunyo? Praskunyo. Okay, say the other ones because I'm horrible. Sabonii and Lat. Okay, what he said. Here's the definition. The first one that I thought was Lightning McQueen is, and this is kind of weird. There's some of them are very strange. To depress, prostrate, in homage to royalty of or God, bow down, crouch, fall down, humbly beseech, do obeisance, do reverence, make to stoop, worship. 166 times in the Old Testament. The proskuneo, oh, pretty close. This one's kind of weird. Meaning is to kiss, like a dog licking his master's hand. I kiss Lisa like that all the time. To fawn or crouch, homage again, reverence, adore. And homage or homage is to speak honor or respect shown publicly. And I pray that that's what I'm doing today. That's 59 times in the New Testament. To reverence, hold all, used 10 times in the New Testament. And latroyo, to render religious service or homage, used 21 times in the New Testament. Okay, well, we know that. Let's look what this says. Worship, this is just Googled. This is what the world says worship is. Now, in the purple, have I used those words today? Have I said reverence? I didn't say veneration, but adoration, adore, glorify, exalt, devote, praise, thanksgiving, homage, honor, magnify God. So do we do that when we only come here corporately? Are you doing it on Monday? Are you worshiping God when you get up? Are you worshiping when you walk along the road or driving your car? Some of us do, I know. I'm just asking the question. Now, have you ever had a situation where you knew you thought something, but you found out you really didn't know? Or you knew, but you didn't, you found out something new? Joe, throw up the woman. Okay, what do you see? Who sees an older lady? Two, three, four, five. Okay, do you see both? You see both? There's a young woman. Oh! So, ear is the eye. You see that? Okay, how about the guy? Yeah, you got a cowboy, and then they're both old. There's a young guy and an old guy. Everybody see it? You see a cowboy hat? Okay, so nose? It's a nose or a chin? It's a nose or a chin? So, here's the word. The word shows us clear pictures, but I'm telling you now, there's more than one picture in the word. What you think you know, you don't know. You might know, But you fully don't know, because I know this. The word that I'll tell you of love, agape, that Jesus loves for you, you have no understanding. You do not know. You may think you know, but I'm telling you now, the more you seek Him, the more you know Him, the more you'll know that love, but you will not fully know until He comes back, until you are made perfect. You will not fully know. And there's so many other things in this book that you need to read it over and over and over again. It needs to be in you so that your light will shine from you, because it will change you. Do you want to be changed? Do you want to be changed further in the likeness of Christ? Because that is sanctification. That long word, Christianese, that we love to use, but we don't do. That we don't commit to. That we're not faithful with. Because it is the four-letter dirty word, work. Because it is slaying the flesh. And my challenge is to you, oh my goodness, where did 20 minutes go? My challenge to you, you'll see in your bulletin, I'm asking for three people. I'm on day 195 of my chronicle. I'm doing a chronicle Bible reading, 365 days. I'm asking three people. I'm going to go back to day one. I'm asking three people to join me and read the Word of God every single day, and we'll answer three questions that are shown in your listening guide and see what God does. Now, if there's more than three that email me, I'll put you guys together, and let's read the Word of God together in this church. I'm challenging every single one of you. I know some of you are already in reading plans, and that's great. Keep on keeping on. But if you have not read or not reading, and I don't care what age you are, let's do it. Because your Word is a lamp to my feet, a light for my path. The troubles you are having in your life right now, He will get you through, and He'll show you how in this book. Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. Because here's a call. I'm not going to get all the scriptures. Joe, can you just go to Revelation 3:20? This is the call to all of us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me. He's at the door of your heart. He might be already inside just wrecking it, but he might still be standing there. I'm asking today, are you ready to let him in? Or maybe he's come in and you pushed him out. Because this is a call for all. Not just unbelievers, but for believers. Because there are things in life that happen that we push God out of, and we need to call Him back in. Because He is life. He will show you true life. He will show you true love. He will get you through every storm that you can think of and give you life abundantly. I have come to give you life abundantly. Another reason why He came. Okay, we're going to ask the ushers to come forward. Hopefully they won't trip over lights. And the worship team, because we're going to sing another song. And it's now a time to respond. We've heard the Word of God. Hopefully He's spoken to your heart. He's convicted your heart. Now, this place is open. Because guess what? Corporately, we get to come now and do our business with the Lord right here. There are people in here that want nothing more than to pray with you. They want nothing more than to live life with you. I promise. And I'm going to close this reading. Old Testament. Oh, my goodness. It's First Chronicles. I don't know if I can find it. First Chronicles. I'm going to pray this over us. 16, 8 through 12, and then 23 through 36. And I'm going to pray for the offering also at the same time. to him. It's going to be a long prayer because I love to pray. All right, let's bow our heads. Father, we come to you praying this over this church family. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all his wonders. Glory is his holy name. Let the heart of those seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his wonderful deeds, which he has done, his marvels and the judgments from his mouth. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in holy array. Tremble before him, all the earth. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Then say, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us and deliver us from the nations to give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for everlasting, even to everlasting. Then all the people said, amen, and praised the Lord. Father, we thank you. We ask for your blessing over this offering. Let us respond to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.